The NFL preseason is really launching tonight. There's 12 games tonight. Again, I'm going down to Buffalo tomorrow. I'm looking forward to hearing what the reaction will be because it's a preseason game.
Yeah, but they want to see the quarterback.
Yeah, I got to see Josh Allen. I want to see him play. You know, I want to see what he's got. And to chat about the NFL, we're joined now by longtime NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champ with the Packs, with the Packers, and, of course, a member of the Ohio State Buckeyes as well. Here's A.J. Hawk. What's up, A.J.?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're doing pretty well, man. We're somewhat amped up for NFL preseason. As a player, do you like that the games are finally here, or do you just hate the idea that you're going to go out there and there's potential that you could get injured in a meaningless game?
No, as a player, you're excited that the games are there because now you kind of have something to work for, work towards, I guess, during practice. And you'll start to game plan as the preseason goes. In the second, third, fourth preseason game, you'll start to use part of your practice time to work on what the other team does instead of just pounding on each other and trying to kill each other. And you realize, like, okay, there's light at the end of the tunnel. We're going to get to play a season here soon enough.
Time was, and I've been watching the game for years and years and years, time was when you watched the preseason in the NFL, you actually saw some of the players who would actually play in the season. It seems as time's gone on, we're seeing fewer and fewer of starting quarterbacks. We're seeing fewer and fewer of maybe the quality wide receivers. When did that change in time, and did that change when you were still playing?
It's team to team, and depending on what your coach thinks and what kind of team he feels like he has. Like, if a coach feels like he has a pretty veteran team and the majority of his core guys are veterans that have been around the league, then, yeah, they won't play a whole lot. But if you're younger and you're kind of unproven, your coach wants to make you get out there and earn it a little bit more and see what you have in a game-type experience. So typically when I came into the league, it was first preseason game, the starters play a quarter. Then second one, you play two quarters. The third one, you play into the third quarter. And then the fourth preseason game, the starters usually played one or two series. That's how it used to be. Now it seems like you start out and the starters basically play two to three series in the first game, and then depending on how the coach feels, he'll kind of divvy the reps up as it goes. But a lot of times, even in the third preseason games, if you're a starting quarterback and you're the franchise guy, I doubt you're going to see him in the second half.
No, and they've got so much power. Like, I think that's another part of it, wouldn't it be, AJ, is that these old-school coaches, man, they could tell every player, including the quarterback, that they're going to do whatever they're told to do. Now, like, how's Mike McCarthy going to go up to Aaron Rodgers and say, I need you to play a full half tonight if he only wants to play a quarter in the preseason? Like, Rodgers is probably going to win that battle, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if he wanted to stand up and say he's not going to play, yeah, you would think that they would have to go with what Aaron said. And as well, if you're a head coach of a team, everyone but the Packers, you have an owner, you have, and even the Packers have a GM. They have people above the head coach that can say, hey, what are we doing here? I just paid this guy, I gave him a $150 million contract. Why is he playing in the third quarter of the third preseason game?
Right.
Get him out of there. So, yeah, there's a lot on the line, I guess, and you don't want to get him hurt in a game that doesn't mean anything.
With A.J. Hawk, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he made some news this week where he was lighting up some younger wideouts in camp. And every year, like, I'm a Packers fan. I've been a Packers fan my whole life. And I remember when you guys won the Super Bowl back in 2010, and it felt like that was the beginning of Rodgers running off two or three or four Super Bowls, and it's his only appearance. Do you sense, based on what you know of him and what you know of that organization, that there might be some frustration from Aaron Rodgers that he's only got to one Super Bowl, and Brady's been to so many, and Roethlisberger has been to multiple Super Bowls, and Russell Wilson's been there multiple times? Could you picture that being a frustrating scenario for Rodgers, considering he's now 34 years old?
I mean, of course, it's got to be frustrating for him when you see how he's played at such an elite level for so long, just year in and year out. Obviously, last year getting injured was a little bump in the road, but you saw how valuable he was with how the team did without him in the lineup. And then he comes back, and they almost get in the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm sure he's frustrated that he hasn't been back. It was frustrating in my time there. I spent 9 years there, and the fact that we only won one ring when my first 2 years with Brett Favre as a quarterback, and then 7 years we had Aaron. And if you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, yeah, I agree. You should be in the Super Bowl or contending for the Super Bowl every single year.
And when you watched the way that team won and you watched the level that Rodgers was at and has been at for many years since then, you can make an argument, and some people have, that he's a top five quarterback of all time. And but he's kind of in that Dan Marino mode of sorts, except he's got the one ring, and Marino never had any.
Yeah, I mean, that getting that one ring is a big deal. At least you have that one. Like, if his career ended today, at least he has that ring. But you're right. When you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, and you see what he does, he can do everything. Like, he has the arm strength he has, the mental capacity he has to read defenses, to understand and anticipate throws. But then he also, the thing that sets him apart, I think, is he has the legs to pull the ball down and run when he needs to and elude the rush. That, yeah, you do feel like, okay, how is this guy going on his 14th year and he's only been in one Super Bowl? You're right. And there's a million different things that have to go your way to even make it to the Super Bowl, but that's what they're trying to do in Green Bay right now. So I'm sure the coaching staff, everybody's frustrated. That's why we saw some changes, I think, in the offseason, and they're hoping to stay healthy and make a run at it.
With longtime NFLer A.J. Hawk, Hard Knocks made its debut a couple of nights ago, and the of all teams that are going to be on it, it's the Browns, who have won one game in the past 2 years, and I don't see why they would want the spotlight on them, although I don't think they had a lot of choice. But as a player, would you be comfortable with that, having the cameras in the meeting rooms, in the locker room, and following you around all the time? How would you feel about being a part of Hard Knocks?
I would not want to be a part of it. I've talked to a bunch of my friends that have been a part of it, and they just said, during training camp, how the cameras make it look is not really what it feels like. When I watch Hard Knocks, I'm like, man, it looks like these guys just have all kinds of free time. They're just hanging around, joking. Like, every moment of your day is pretty much spoken for when you're in training camp. So to think you have like a 2-minute break to go try to take a leak, and you got a camera guy that's trying to drag you into a closet and ask you to speak directly to the camera and ask them how you're feeling that day, I can imagine that'd get pretty old after a while. So I think it is great what they do. It's fun to see the inside of everything and see their staff meetings. That's the thing as a player, I think, that I love to watch. And I played for Hugh Jackson in Cincinnati. He was the offensive coordinator there. And a lot of the guys in the front office in Cleveland were in Green Bay during my time. So I know a lot of people involved, but I was like anybody else. I tuned in to see what Baker Mayfield looked like, what Tyrod Taylor was doing, how their team looks. And I don't know. It's going to be a fun – I think there's 4 episodes left. It's going to be interesting to see what – I guess where the rest of this season goes.
Well, tonight games start for real, I guess, as real as preseason games are. And I know I'm going to rush home from here because I want to see the Giants play, because I want to see Saquon Barkley, assuming that he's playing. Are there certain players that you're looking forward to seeing in the preseason that you haven't seen before?
Yeah, definitely. Rookies especially. I mean, it's, regardless of if the game, who wins or loses means anything, the game still means something to the players, to every guy on the field. Even if you're a 15-year vet, your short time in the game, you want to make some plays and play well. But when you're a rookie, yeah, this is your first real game action. I remember my first preseason game was in San Diego, and I was nervous, I was anxious, I was excited. But yeah, especially like Saquon Barkley, I'm a huge fan of him. I want to see what he looks like. Hopefully they don't keep him in there too long. You don't want to hurt that guy, that's for sure. But he and Baker Mayfield both are two guys that I'll be keeping my eye on. I'm excited to see what they do. I don't know how much time Baker Mayfield's going to get. It sounds like he's going to get a good amount of time with the offense. And you're going to have some adversity thrown at you in the preseason, man. They'll throw some receivers in there that you haven't worked with. Your O-line may not hold up. You may have some confusion on plays coming from the sidelines into your helmet, like what's going on. So it'll be fun to watch how he handles a couple of chaotic situations.
Yeah, for me, it's all about those young quarterbacks. I mean, I've heard really good things out of Sam Darnold with the Jets. Apparently he looks great. Baker Mayfield has looked very good. Josh Allen's got a cannon. He's got more talent than anybody else that would be in that room, like a guy like A.J. McCarron, I believe it is, who's potentially going to be the starter for the Bills. We know Nathan Peterman ain't the guy. But it doesn't sound like any of them are going to be starters week one. Like, are you surprised at all by that? That you had 4 quarterbacks in the top 10 if you throw Josh Rosen in, and it sounds like Bradford will be the starter in Arizona, that Mayfield, Allen, Darnold, and Rosen, all of them, at least at this point, appear to be second-tier guys come opening week. Any surprise there for you?
Yeah, it's a bit of a surprise. But I mean, I think that could change between now and opening day. That very well could change. I know It looks like Darnold has played well. Josh Rosen, too, I hear a lot of good things about him. So you never know. A guy gets out there and let's say you give Sam Darnold a quarter and a half in his first couple preseason games, and he looks really, really good. If he can find a way to continue that in the last couple preseason games, you're going to have a hard time not starting him come opening day, just because think about it. Coaches want to win. Coaches have contracts too. They know, hey, I got to win now or they're going to bring somebody else in here. So you want to put whoever gives you the best opportunity to win.
But what we saw last year is it doesn't necessarily mean who starts week one. It's who ends up as your starter with Deshaun Watson in Houston. I don't think he started at the beginning of last season, and he turned it on, and until he got hurt, he was the quarterback story of the year in the league.
Absolutely, and I think people are excited to see how he looks now. I mean, he single-handedly revamped the Houston Texans and breathed life into that organization, I feel like. So hopefully he can stay healthy. He's a dynamic player, and just a fun story watching what he did in college and how he was able to continue that in the NFL. But you're right. It doesn't matter from opening day quarterback starters until midway through the season, towards the end of the season, there's going to be so many different quarterbacks that start games for teams that all these rookies, I would imagine, will get a chance to at least start a game throughout the season, and some of them a lot more than that. And it's fun to watch when guys can come in and they can handle all of that. I say all the time, playing quarterback in the NFL, it's the toughest position in all of pro sports. Mentally, physically, everything about it, you just have to be able to do everything. And when a rookie can come in and do that and do it well, it's very impressive.
With A.J. Hawk, you mentioned Watson there, Stephen. Houston's an intriguing team for me because I love their talent. And like I loved what I saw to Watson, but we'll see what happens now that he's back off injury. And on the defensive side, they may have the best pass rush in the league. Maybe the Chargers could have a slightly better one. But if Watt is healthy and Clowney's healthy and Merciless is healthy, they're all healthy. They're loaded with talent, but they're always so injury prone. And J.J. Watt's the best example. I mean, probably the best defensive player this century. Yet I don't know if he can keep battling back from these major injuries. What do you expect out of J.J. Watt?
You're right. There are major injuries, too. It's not little things putting them out. So there are things that are unavoidable. It's not like he's missing all this time with a hamstring strain. They're real big-time injuries that you have to rehab and come back from. I mean, if anyone can do it, he can. So I'm sure he's going to come back, and he's going to be so hungry to play and to make plays again. The question is, I just hope he has the stamina to last all season. And when you start having these big injuries, of course, you're just maintenance all year long. You have to find a way to maintain and to continue to work out and to keep all that stuff strong and make sure you don't. A lot of times, if you hurt one thing, say you came back from I tore my pec one year, and all of a sudden I came back from that and I pulled my groin 6 or 7 weeks later, and the doctors tried to tell me maybe it was because of how I was overcompensating for my torn pec. I'm like, I don't know if there's any truth to that, but who knows? Maybe.
Right.
So, You got to find a way to maintain through the year and find out what kind of program of working out where it really works for you as an individual.
Great stuff as always, AJ. We'll do it again down the road. Thanks, man.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
There's AJ Hawk, longtime NFLer, Super Bowl champ with the Packers back in 2010, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.com.